Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's Word. And, oh, y'all already know, I am excited because we are in the book of Jeremiah. And, you know, Jeremiah is giving Joshua a run for his money, man. I love, y'all know Joshua is my guy. I love Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. But Jeremiah, wow, is all I can say. Wow. Jeremiah is amazing. When God sends a prophet, a true prophet, you know it. You might not like what they have to say. You might not like them all up in your business. But a true prophet is going to tell you the truth of thus says the Lord. Jeremiah didn't sugarcoat. Could have cost him his life. But he never lied. He wasn't a prophet liar. He wasn't a title. He was just a young man who was given an assignment and did it. Just because you're young doesn't mean you can't do what God calls you to do. I'm grateful that when I first started in ministry, I started in children's ministry. Because children are our future first and foremost. And they make you work. You better know your stuff before you get up in front of a child and start trying to tell them what thus is the Lord. I had to study. I still do. Because I still work in children's ministry, and I love it. I can't help myself. There's something about children loving God. I'm over the youth praise team, and I can tell you they bless me every time they go forth, because as I've seen them since they were little bitty kids, as they've grown into teenagers, and the growth and the love of God. Jeremiah grew into his ministry. He grew into being the prophet that he became. He started as a child and grew into a prophet that came to it, because every time he spoke, they knew what he spoke would come to pass. And so he's dealing with King Zedekiah. And he's dealt with Jehoiakim, who decided he was toughing up and roughing up to tear up a scroll of God, put it in the fire. Burned it. I'm all that. We'll go back over to Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 9. It says, "Now it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they had proclaimed a fast before the Lord for all the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the city of Judah to Jerusalem." Then Baruch read from the book of the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe in the upper court, in the entry of the new gate. And as we go down again, number 18, we go down to verse 18, and then we're going to pray. And actually we'll go up to verse 16, it says, "Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in ear from one to another and said to Baruch, 'We will surely tell the king of all these words.' And they asked essence. Tell us now, how did you write all these words at his instruction? Direct answered them. He proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princess said to them, go and hide you and Jeremiah, let no one know where you are. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. The king sent Yehuda to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehudah had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. Neither did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Nevertheless, we're not afraid of God. King Joe again. Not afraid. Thought he was all that. And as the kids used to say, back in my day, and back to it, you're going to find out you're not what you think. So let's get ready to get into the word this morning, family. And like I said, it is what a great word today. God is in charge of everything, and we should never, ever think that we're all that, because we are nothing without God. Father God in heaven, we are coming to you right now. Blessed and favored God, knowing that you are our Father, and that you love us with a Father's heart and a Father's love. Lord God, you chastise us when we miss it, and you wipe away our tears when we fall. Father God in heaven, I lift this word up to you, asking you, Father, as I do every day, to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For Lord God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God, and I am your humble servant, your humble God. Open to receive whatever you give me, God. In the precious and the holy name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word that it will touch someone's heart, that it will touch someone's mind, that it will touch someone's spirit, that they will know there's always a rainbow at the end of every song. All you have to do is get through it. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for waking me up. I thank you for giving me a do-over. In Jesus' name, again, I pray. Amen. Thanking God for the do-over. Hallelujah. Because every day that you are given is a do-over. Every day you are given is an opportunity for God to get the glory. Hallelujah. So let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. For those that do not know what we do on this blog, this is Bible study. My assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. So far, I have gotten my assignment done. We have started on January 1st with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And God willing, and God's will, we will end on December 31st. With Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. I am coming this year out of the Charles of Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year, New King James Version, because I like it. And we are also, how do I say it, every day, my disclaimer, this Bible is a absolutely fantastic Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. And we as men and women of God, we got to have an arsenal. We fight with the Word of God. Yesterday I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans on the radio, and Dr. Evans was speaking on fighting and how Jesus fought the devil with the Word of God, beat him up with the Word of God. And that is the only way we can fight is with God's Word. So we have got to get to know it. And the only way you get to know it is to read it. So that's what our goal is, to read the Word of God, my job, my assignment for 2022 was to read the Word of God, that the Word of God is the atmosphere. So let's get back into it. Again, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this word. Thank you for the life lessons, the life questions. Thank you for just being an awesome man of God. And I thank all of you for listening in, that listen in live or later. And I pray that this word touches your heart, your mind, and your spirit. And I ask you to continue keeping Mother Rita in your prayers, who has been such a part of everything I've done. I am just thankful for my adopted auntie and mother of this ministry that we call Moving Forward. I ask you to please keep her in your prayers. Your prayers are working. I did not tell you on some shows before, but she was on life support. But prayer changes things. So please continue praying for her. Please continue lifting up Mother Rita, that God's will be done. And if it is not God's will for her to go yet, then I pray she will be able to join us again in God's time. So thank you so much. Let's get in the Word. Jeremiah chapter 37. Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Hananiah, the son of Joachim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants, nor the people of the land, gave heed to the word of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehoiakim, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now to the Lord our God for us. How Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt. And when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt, to their land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city, and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourself, saying, the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, but they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remain only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire. And it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there, whose name was Arizah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Ananiah. And he sees Jeremiah the prophet, saying, you are defecting to the Chaldeans. And Jeremiah said, I am not defecting to the Chaldeans. But he did not listen to him. So Elijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Therefore, the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Gotta whisper, because you know you don't want anybody to know he's inquiring of the Lord of what? Israel, the Lord of Judah, the Lord who brought their forefathers out of bondage. Come on now. And he's whispering, pulling the prophet out secretly, because he don't want folks to know. Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "What offense have I committed?" Hold it. Let me go back up. I'm sorry. I missed a section here. Now, when Jeremiah entered the dungeon in the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, "You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "What offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? Therefore, please hear now, O my Lord the king. Please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there." Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Chapter 38. Now, Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Peshur, Shachar, the son of Shelemiah, and Peshur, the son of Melchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the people who remain in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes over to the Chaldees shall live. His life shall be as a fire to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it." Therefore the princess said to the king, "Please let this man be put to death." So thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in the city, and the hands of all the people, by speaking such words to them. But this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their arm. Then Zedekiah the king said, "Look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you." So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Nathanael, Micaiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they left, and they let Jeremiah down with a rope, and in the dungeon there was no water or mud. So Jeremiah sank in the mud, which is nothing but mud and sewage. Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, taken from there 30 men with you and lived Jeremiah, the prophet, out of the dungeon before he died. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and let them down by rope into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, "Please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, under the ropes," and Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our very soul, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your household shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me." Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live." And that's the title of our lesson from this word this morning. "But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, 'Your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet are sunk into the mire, and they have turned away again.' So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon. You shall cause this city to be burned with fire." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no one know of these words, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, 'Declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you,' do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. And you shall say to them, 'I presented my request before the king that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there.'" Then all the princes came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. Now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Understand what God says he will do, he will do. No matter how many prophet liars are out there telling you, "Well, God said this and God said that, and God said you're going to be this and God said you're going to be that." When you know in your heart, everything that a prophet tells you, you pretty much know if it's true or not. Because God gives us our own vision. We talk to God directly. You don't have to have a prophet to talk to God. God will speak with you himself. If there's something important God wants you to do, he's going to send it to you, and he's going to give you all these different things to show you it's the right thing. He's going to give you a word. And I know that God's words are always true. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Let's read our word this morning and go back to some life lessons from chapter 37 and 38 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah entered the dungeon and remained there many days. God never left Jeremiah yet. The prophet spent many lonely and discouraging days in his service. Jeremiah's obedience did not translate to instant and obvious blessings. It took faith to believe that God would remain faithful to the end. You in a muck and a mire? You down in a dungeon? And you're thinking, Lord, I said everything you told me to say. I did everything you told me to do. Why are you allowing me to starve in all this burning and mess down here? I can't even hardly breathe, but yet I'm in this because I did what you told me to do. I'm in this mess because I followed you, God. But I tell you one thing. God will send to you your obedience. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 37:7-9. These men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. With all Jeremiah's fellow Israelites around him, it took a foreigner. Come on now. And the leap to Ethiopia to give him the help he needed. God loves to provide help from unexpected sources. So he gets the glory and not us. Come on, y'all. That's a hand clap. That's a hallelujah. God gets the glory. We don't get glory. God gets glory. We are his servants. He is our God. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We follow his voice. Jeremiah 38:20. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. Whew. Obedience is always the smart choice, the wise choice, the choice of blessing. Obedience always brings blessing, and we bless others when we remind them of this simple fact. Obedience, Samuel told all, is better than sacrifice. We got to be obedient to God. We got to thank God. We got to lift up the name of Jesus in all that we do. And we got to quit walking in the spirit of offense. Well, this happening, I can't stand him. I can't stand that. If Jeremiah walked in the spirit of offense, he couldn't have done his job. He could not have done what God called him to do. We wonder why our blessings are not there. It's because we are walking in offense, mad at everybody. We cannot walk that way. We want it to be well with our souls. We want to live and not die. I want to spend eternity with the Lord myself. I want to see them gates. There's a bridge that you drive through near St. Louis, and it's like it has steep. As you go through, it looks like you're going through a tunnel of steeples. It's just absolutely a gorgeous bridge. But every time I ride over it, I always think I'm riding through, to the kingdom of God, because it just looks so beautiful. They're big silver, and they come up like steeples, and it's just beautiful. And we have to understand we want to be with God. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. Please, I say it again, please obey the voice of the Lord. So it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. God is good. We are still in the 119th Psalm, verses 71 through 80 this morning. And they say, as we finish up death, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins, gold, and silver. And we all have gone through our affliction. My affliction. was a long, 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 long time of grief. I'm just going to be honest. Couldn't get over some things. Lost some people in my life. Started in my 20s when I lost my godmother. Then the next year I lost my godfather. And then when my husband died, 6 months later his mother died, who was like my mom. I even called her mama. Then God called me into working in senior care. I lost a really special client on the 29th of this month. And then 2 days later, I lost my father-in-law. Then I lost another client. Devastated. People you work for years, and some you only work for a month, but you feel their soul. You feel the person that they are, and you miss. We've got to love each other, because God only gives us so much time on this planet, and he wants us just to obey his voice. I want to get to Yah. It says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in your word. I have hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Because from my affliction, God called me into ministry. All I can say is thank you, God. It is hard sometimes, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to read your word and to let it permeate in my spirit. Let I pray your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me and that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed that they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. And a life lesson. It's actually a life question from this psalm. Verse 71, how can a God allow suffering in a believer's life? How can a good God allow suffering in a believer's life? That's a question I pondered for these last 12 years. But God. And I say to those that are listening and that may want to speak, the number to dial is 213-943-3598, and your line will be open again. 213-943-3597 is our call-in number for those that would like to speak. If this word is touching your heart, please start calling in. 213-943-3597. And it says this, have you ever caught yourself wishing for the good old days? Most of us have. The truth is, however, if we had a chance to travel back to another time, we would find the same problems and trials that confront us now also existed back then. Trials come no matter who you are or what you do. Suffering molds, prepares, and perfects us in a variety of ways. Pressure from without increases pressure within. We feel it as the darkness lingers, the pain increases, and the disappointment goes on and on. In the spiritual realm, however, we do not have to yield to the mounting pressure. We can diffuse it by placing it on the altar of God and allowing him to handle our hurts. Suffering beyond our control proves to us that we are not omnipotent. Suddenly, we become accurately aware of an authority higher than ourselves. Someone whose insight and wisdom outranks our own. We need a savior. Someone greater than our biggest fear. Someone able to meet all our needs. Only through his grace can we learn the truth concerning suffering. God uses it to help us experience his immense love. Maybe you are facing a time of suffering and you think the emotional pain is more than you can bear. Or perhaps you are dealing with a series of disappointments. Instead of becoming fearful, a frequent ploy of Satan to pull you away from the will of God. Ask the Lord to show you what he is up to in your life. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote, God knows that soldiers are to be made only in battle. They are not to be grown in peaceful times. We may grow the stuff of which soldiers are made, but warriors are really educated by the smell of powder in the midst of whizzing bullets and roaring cannons. Is he not developing in you the qualities of the soldier by throwing you into the heat of battle? And should you not use every application to come out conquered? And we all understand God has never lost a battle. He hasn't lost a battle with me. He hasn't lost a battle with you. He's omnipotent and he loves us. Proverbs 27, verses 23 through 27, be diligent to know the state of your flock. And I'm talking to y'all out there. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to your bishops. I'm talking to all you shepherds. I'm talking to the seniors out there. Senior pastors. Bishops. Apostles. I'm talking to the elders. But I'm talking mainly to the bishops and the senior pastors. And the apostles, and the reverends. I'm talking to the ones in charge of the flock. We all have assignments that are under our senior shepherds. There's always the underlings. You may be an associate. You're not over that ministry. You are a helper within the ministry. I'm talking to the ones in charge, the ones that have to take responsibility for everything that goes on within that ministry. Be diligent to know the state of your flock and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservant. It's not about the stuff. It's about the flock and taking care of it. And this word in our New Testament for this morning is coming out of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And Paul is speaking. Like I said, y'all know me. I tell the truth. I don't always agree with Paul. But in a whole lot, I do 99.9% I agree with Paul. And this is what Paul says. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows. I'm one of those ladies. I'm a widow. And have been for 12 years. Honor widows who are really widows. Come on now. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. But this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. Come on now. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Come on now. Here I am. Just barely over 60 years old, but the wife of one man. Come on. Well reported for good works if she has brought up children. Come on. If she has lodged strangers, all of in my business. If she has washed the saints' feet. If she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Wow. Apostles all in my business. My business. But then he goes on to tell us, but refuse the younger widows, for they have begun to grow one against Christ. They desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only becoming gossip. Come on now. So it says, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widow marry children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believer man or woman has widows, let them relieve them and do not let the church be burdened that it may relieve those who are really widows. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. You better say it. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may hear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily. You better speak it. You got folks always ready to come laying their hands on people. Don't put your hands on me. I don't know you. We got to understand, you can't let everybody lay hands on you. Some folks may be laying a curse on you. Be careful who you allow to put hands on you. Don't just go running up. You don't know what's going on. We got to be careful as Christians. And I love it. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, while sharing other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Don't get mad when you see ministers and certain pastors and teachers and bishops set themselves apart. They have to do that on occasion. They will love on you, but they got to set themselves apart when they got to go forth for God. You cannot allow anything to come at you. Because the enemy's going to throw you. He's going to try to knock you off your square with distraction. It happened yesterday. I was with my pastor, and we were coming back from an assignment. And we had to be back by 5 o'clock because it was time for prayer. Prayer starts at 5, and it's prompt. My pastor don't play that. When it comes to time, you better be on time. When you got an assignment, you better be on time to start your assignment. And we had to be back by 5. And sure enough, the spirit of distraction hit me. Went, oh, Pastor, do we need gas? Because gas is $3.12. Which gas where we are is $4.02. Or $3.89 if you can find it cheaper. I got $3.84. So that was a big deal. But $3.12, whoa. And we both started laughing. Because we both realized at that moment it was a spirit of distraction. We had just said we needed to be back by 5. And the way the GPS told us, we would make it just at 5 o'clock. So if we stop and get gas, that puts us 10 minutes, 15 minutes behind our time. We got back in time 5 minutes before 5 o'clock. So we were both in the sanctuary by before 5, raising time. But if that distraction happened and we stopped and got gas, we would have been late. So we have to be careful that we do not allow the enemy to knock us off our square, is what I call it. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. God knows everything you do. God knows when you do what you do. And he will let others know what you do. Because we don't have to go out and say, well, I did this and I did that. I is not always of God. We got to love God with every part of our being. In 1 Timothy 5:4, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. This goes along with the theme Paul first stated in 1 Timothy 3:5. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? If Christians don't take care of their families, especially the older members, who will? Therefore, we should honor our widows by caring for them. When they cannot take care of themselves, this may sound extremely difficult. And sometimes it will be, however, whatever God calls us to do will be worthwhile and will carry with it unforeseen, a great priceless lesson. We got to start speaking. God, you know what we need. 1 Timothy 5:20, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may fear. Paul is speaking here of church leaders. Come on now. He's speaking of church leaders. If they abuse their position and sin publicly, he instructs Timothy to rebuke them publicly. Not to shame them, but to let everyone know that God does not play favorites. Many unbelievers fall into gross sin because they don't know any better. Before his conversion, Paul fell into this category. But someone who knows the truth and refuses to act on it has no excuse. If you know that your praise leader is in the club on Saturday night, rocking it back and forth, backing it up, wobbling down, making it rain, and doing all the things that they shouldn't be doing, but yet come Sunday morning they up in the choir on the praise team. Let's get excited for the Lord today. Just like you was getting excited for that woman. Just like you was getting excited for that man. Just like you was getting excited for the world. And understand, somebody in the audience was in the club right there with you and saw what you was doing, and they have just tuned out of God and will not come back to church. because they come expecting. And when they see you was right there in the world with them, how can they expect from God when they see the devil? Just saying. You got to think about what we do on Saturday night before we jump up in that pulpit, before we jump up on that platform, before we go into the worship. We need to take it to the altar, take it to the throne, because we need Jesus. We all do. And if you are not one of those folks, God bless you. You know, and then you have folks singing songs to make you think, oh, it's all right. It's all good. You're a church girl. You're still a church girl, whether you're in the club, dropping into my music, or doing what you're doing anyway. Hey, do you? 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them into judgment, but those of some men follow later. Some crimes escape the judgment of human beings, but no sin escapes the judgment of God. Come on now. Nobody ultimately gets away with anything. If we do not allow Jesus to take away our sins, we will have to bear them ourselves. Get to know the Lord. Get to know Jesus. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, is getting to know the Savior as my Lord and Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for saving a wretch like me. Not perfect, flawed, but love the Lord. And a word from my prayer for this morning is iron shall be done. Ooh. We just read this not too long ago, this proverb. And our title is accountability. Right up in there with our word for this morning. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Proverbs 27:17 NLT. Faithful one, your continual stream of grace in my life is the source where I find strength. When I am in need, I turn to you. Your friendship is the strongest relationship in my life. You're so reliable, God. You fill every need with your love. There is nothing I lack that you don't have abundance to meet it. In my friendship, I taste your goodness. We are not created to live isolated or alone. How grateful I am for that. In relationships where we're rubbing up against each other's rough edges, how we are tested to love, forgive, and extend mercy. We are sharpened by each other's wise insights, by the comfort we give and the understanding of someone who walks through the trenches with us. What beauty. Thank you for community even in the hard and tense seasons. You are good, wise, and true. These qualities I see in my friendship too. And the question becomes for the day, family. Who keeps you accountable? Who keeps you accountable? And as we wrap it up this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Good morning. You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of His divine plan. Have a worry-free Wednesday. Have a worry-free Wednesday, family. And keep God first in everything you do. And know who you belong to. Obey the voice of God, so it will be well with you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Thank you for joining me. Again, tell friends about it. This is Bible study. We are reading the Word of God. And we thank Dr. Stanley. We thank all of you. We thank Israel Helton and we believe for allowing us to use moving forward as our theme. And I just thank God for each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a great day. It is a wrap. It's time for me to go to work, so it's a wrap.